He's a multi-platinum superstar, a TikTok icon, and he's now on trial for murder. David Anthony Burke, he's a 21-year-old singer from Los Angeles, known as David, is now on trial for the murder of a 14-year-old girl. The details of this case have been heard over the last few weeks, and some are truly disturbing. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. To get into the case, let me just take you back to the very beginning, News Talk Daily listeners. David Burke, right? He's this alt pop singer and TikTok star. And he begins what seems like a friendship with Celeste Rivas, who could have been as young as 11 years old. And David at the time was aged 17. Prosecutors are alleging that Celeste was groomed by an older man with influence, access and a direct line into her world. That relationship and the imbalance of it is now central to the case. After Celeste disappeared in September 2025, one of the numerous times she had left her family home, her body was found in the trunk of a Tesla that was registered to David. For months, very little official information was released. Online, of course, there was lots of speculation. It always fills that gap. Legions of fans who once dreamed David's crossover hit Romantic Homicide on repeat turned on him. They left old Discord servers and set up new ones with names like The David Case and David Leaks, where former fans were now scouring the artist's digital footprint for traces of Celeste Rivas Hernandez. But all this while, investigators in LA were building their own case. And following a preliminary hearing that concluded on April 29th, prosecutors alleged that David had been engaged in an inappropriate and illegal relationship with Celeste, and that when there was a risk of that relationship becoming known, she was killed. He, of course, has pleaded not guilty to all of these charges. The autopsy report added further detail, confirming Celeste died from multiple penetrating injuries and that her body had been dismembered and concealed for her family. It's a devastating confirmation. And it shifts the focus back to what this case is actually fundamentally about: the alleged grooming of a minor and the consequences of that abuse. What makes this one different is how much of that has unfolded in public view. And a warning, the following item does contain discussion of sexual violence and grooming, which some listeners may find distressing. We're joined now by Danny Angiano, who's been covering the case for The Guardian newspaper. And Danny, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Right. Well, thank you for having me. David Burke, for those who don't know, which I think there are lots of people out there who aren't familiar with him, is a rising pop star. He has gained popularity over the last few years, starting with these videos that he would make for the video game Fortnite. And then eventually he started making his own music and releasing it online. And thanks to TikTok, for instance, his songs got really popular really quickly. And so, As of a year ago, he was really up and coming, had just released his first new album, was doing collaborations with really big brands, and seemed like he was on the road to success.
Whilst doing my research into this guy, I could see he's a huge global streaming success. He's had songs Romantic Homicide, which we'll talk about in a moment, Here With Me. They've been spread, as you say, internationally via platforms like TikTok's, millions and millions of streams on certain platforms. He actually did perform here in Dublin in 2024, and he was due to appear again here in Dublin. He'd gone from the Academy up to the Olympia here in October, which just shows you, I suppose, that his popularity was certainly on the increase, but he had to cancel that amid the controversy. So this guy, to a certain generation, is huge.
Yeah, he has a lot of really young teenage fans, I would say, who are really drawn to him because he has such a vibrant online presence. He's someone who describes himself as being, you know, like raised on the internet. And as he grew in popularity, he had like a Discord server where his fans would gather to, you know, talk about him or just kind of just to socialize in general. And yeah, as you mentioned, last year, he was in the middle of a world tour when the news broke about this case and upended all of that.
Tell us about this case and the charges against David.
So David is facing really serious charges. He is facing charges of continuous sexual abuse of a child, of murder, of mutilating a corpse. And that has to do with a young girl named Celeste Rivas Hernandez, who was 14 years old and who prosecutors believe was in what they described as a sexual relationship with David. And her remains were found in his Tesla last fall. And so that was in September. And then over the last few months, police have been investigating this case and then arrested him just a couple of weeks ago. So he is accused of not only, you know, the continuous sexual abuse of this teenager, but also of killing her to prevent her from speaking about their relationship in order to protect his career. That's what prosecutors are saying he's done.
How did her death, her murder, first come to light, Danny?
So her death first came to light when her remains were discovered in a vehicle that belonged to David. And what happened is his Tesla had been towed from kind of an upscale Hollywood Hills neighborhood. And it was reported to authorities that there was, you know, the smell of decay. And so when police went to this tow yard and searched the Tesla, they found her remains in body bags in the trunk of his vehicle.
And she was a reported missing case at that point, and there was no leads as to what had happened to her or her whereabouts.
Well, it's a little bit hazy kind of at this point. So she was, the year before her death, she was a reported runaway multiple times. And what investigators are saying is that her family reported her missing in February 2024, that she seems to have returned home, at which point her parents took her phone away from her, and seems like it could be useful information that prosecutors are saying that David paid $1,000 to a middle schooler to bring her a new phone so that they could stay in communication. She ran away from home at least another time, perhaps a few more times, and spent much of that year with David, is what prosecutors say, before they broke up in November of 2024.
So was there a period of time where she was sort of a missing person, or, as you say, a runaway before this body, her dismembered body, was discovered?
Yeah, so there was a period of time where she had run away from home a few times and then returned home. So we don't know exactly what those, months, the final months of her life looked like, but what we've kind of gathered from the court documents is it seems that she had returned home to her family again before she died, and that then the night that she was killed, she traveled from her home with her family to David's home.
And to be clear, the defense is that he's not guilty and he has nothing to do with this crime, but there are some really awful, gory, gruesome details about what happened to this really young girl and the death that she experienced.
Right. I think that's part of the reason, you know, in addition to the fact that this case involves a rising superstar, the fact that the details are so grisly have really, made this case hard to look away from. I mean, what prosecutors say happened is that he had Celeste come to his home to talk. Prosecutors are saying that he attacked her with a knife, and that he then ordered chainsaws and a shovel and an inflatable pool online and dismembered her body. Prosecutors say that she had a tattoo of his name on her finger, and that her two of her fingers were removed and have never been found. So prosecutors laid out the evidence that they have in this case in a court filing yesterday. And it's just really incredibly grim and tragic what happened.
And I suppose what seems to be really central to their case, to their allegations against David, is that they had been in this relationship when she was so very young and he was 18 years of age and went on until last year. That's the allegation. And that she was threatening to tell people about this relationship. That's what they say was his motivation, which obviously he denies.
Right. That is what prosecutors say. The prosecution has said that they have text messages between the two saying as much. They say they have recovered child sex abuse material from his phone, images of her from his phone, and that they've recovered messages showing that she was not happy. They describe him as manipulating her to keep a sexual relationship going, but that she was unhappy and wanted a real relationship. And the prosecution says they got into an argument the day before they believe she died, in which she threatened to reveal their relationship and that it would ruin his career.
To bring, I suppose, our listeners right up to date here, we did have a preliminary hearing on April 29th. There was due to be a further hearing on May the 1st, but that's been pushed back now until the end of May. What stood out to you from what we heard there at that preliminary hearing?
Well, it was quite interesting because we were expecting them to be back in court this week to go over the evidence in this case. And the prosecution says that they have recovered just a huge volume of evidence in this case. And initially, his defense team seemed to want that. What was striking yesterday is that that has now changed, and the defense is saying that they want time to review all of the evidence. So that was really striking. But it was interesting because there's kind of two paths playing out, where you have what was happening in the courtroom with attorneys, where David is present. You know, we know that he asked the judge if he could get a haircut and wear plain clothes at the hearing. The judge denied his request for regular clothes, but approved his request for a haircut. But then as it actually happened. So we had that moment in court, the back and forth between the attorneys. And then we have the court filing, which was released, which laid out the prosecution's evidence and got into detail for the first time, really, about what prosecutors say their relationship was like, and said, you know, the evidence that they have in this case, and then the details around what happened to Celeste leading up to the killing and in, you know, the year before she died. And so his defense did not want that release. They had asked the judge to block that. I believe they were arguing that it would be prejudicial to a jury, but that was not blocked. And so it was made public yesterday. And that's when we got, you know, just that whole wave of details that we didn't know that people have really been eager for in this case.
You mentioned, Danny, the Discord groups and all of the online network that supported David for so long. But there's been a real strong online dimension to this case in terms of people who've gone out of their way to try and investigate what happened to this young girl since the discovery of her body last year. Tell us about that, because it's pretty wild.
Right. So it's interesting, almost because he had such a large online footprint. When this happened, his fans went to, for instance, the Discord group to process this, to be like, what on earth is happening? And so that was almost already built into this when this case first started unfolding. There were already these places where these discussions were happening. And pretty soon, as slightly more information began to trickle out, you know, and online, some of his fans began to see that this did not seem like, I think some people went from viewing this as someone who, you know, mistaken identity, someone who was framed, that he would be proved innocent. And relatively quickly, I think people started to shift. And so then that turned into this kind of campaign to gather evidence from, you know, Discord and different social media platforms, corroborating this idea that they, Celeste and David, were in some kind of relationship. And, you know, there's mixed success of that. On one hand, you have people who are harassing this girl's family members and harassing people who they believe are friends of David's. But on the other hand, it does seem like that yielded some results. People have uncovered photos of a girl who they believe is Celeste at some of David's concerts. There's a live stream that David and people believe Celeste did together. So there have been some elements of that seem like they have uncovered things and uncovered chats in his Discord fan group between him and a girl named Celeste. We don't know, only police know whether that is in fact her, but it is compelling what people have been able to do so far.
Yeah, and it's just such a reminder of what goes with living all of your life online. When you share every single element of what you do in your life, that you leave this trail of information behind you that a lot of people just don't think of, just aren't aware of, or aren't aware of the potential consequences of living your life online, I often think. I mean, you've mentioned in your reporting that much of this has unfolded in public view. How unusual is that in a case like this?
I've covered my share of high-profile cases involving Hollywood stars, but I've never seen anything quite like this, the scale at which it is unfolded online. And I think it's a couple of things, right? I mean, one, you have someone who is famous, someone who a lot of people know, who people listen to his music. And then just, you know, because I think, as I said, the details around the case are so tragic and so grim, And then the fact that he has such a young fan base who is chronically online, it is striking and is unfolded at a level in this case that I have never seen before. But to get to your point earlier about people living their whole lives online, that was one of the things that was striking to me as I was reading that courtroom brief yesterday. I mean, the prosecution says that David, the night that he's alleged to have killed Celeste, ordered an Uber for her to pick her up and bring her to his home. They say that he used Postmates to order a shovel, that he ordered chainsaws off of Amazon. Like, that's what the prosecution is alleging happened. And it is striking, the idea that someone would use, you know, the internet and e-commerce to get materials for a murder.
There's also been much speculation online about whether this could go beyond one victim here, one person. Is any of that been reflected in what's actually been presented in court, Danny?
I think that's what everyone is, one of the things that everyone's waiting to know. We just don't know that yet. So far, what the prosecution has revealed has been focused, you know, solely on Celeste. So they haven't spoken about whether there might be other victims, but we will see. I mean, they have said that they have, you know, a lot of evidence in this case. So I expect we'll see that closer to the end of May.
How are the defense responding to all of these allegations at this point? What's their position as it stands? I did mention David is pleading not guilty to the charges that have been laid before him.
He is pleading not guilty. His defense team has insistently defended his innocence. They have said that he did not kill Celeste, that the evidence will show that he was not responsible for her death. And they have maintained that position in the time that they have represented him and offered public statements.
But we don't have further detail of what their defense is going to be, I suppose, until this goes back into the courtroom in a number of weeks. What about Celeste herself, Celeste Rivas, this young girl, this victim at the centre of all this? What has come out in court about who she actually was, and how are her family responding to what's been revealed about her?
So we know that Celeste was 14. Her remains were found around the time that she would have turned 15. So that some of the reporting has initially indicated she was older. She was 14. We know that when their relationship is alleged to have began, she was in seventh grade. She is from a city about 70, 80 miles from Los Angeles, called Lake Elsinore. And we know that both of her parents are from El Salvador. We don't know much about Celeste at this point. What I've gathered from descriptions of her is that she liked Hello Kitty, as you would expect from a girl that age. And her parents initially didn't say much publicly in the months between when her body was discovered and when this arrest was made. And they faced a lot of criticism from that online, unfortunately. I think people are so eager for information that they, you know, faced a lot of attack and blaming. But what I will say is that they have spoken out in the last few weeks and have said that, you know, that their daughter was a bright and beautiful girl who they loved very much, who loved to sing and dance and have movie nights with her family. And their family attorney has said that this has been incredibly overwhelming for them, and that they're obviously, you know, just overcome with grief for the loss of their daughter.
Yeah, and I'm sure going through all of that in the public eye and the media storm that is going to encircle this case will make that all the more difficult. I mean, we mentioned so many of the factors that are driving the scale of coverage here. Just put David into your Google search engine and you will see every single media organization across the world has reported on this. You said, of course, there's a celebrity factor. He's this viral music artist, this global audience, the severity and the graphic nature of the allegations against him, the age of the victim here. But there is one other very significant point, the potential death penalty element of this case.
Right. So that is on the table for, you know, the charges that he is facing. If he were convicted, he could face the death penalty. I should also say, in addition to murder, he faces what we call special circumstances around that. Prosecutors allege that in allegedly killing Celeste, that he was trying to prevent a witness to an investigation from coming forward, that he was doing it for financial gain, and that he allegedly killed her in an ambush style attack. So one of the penalties for that is the death penalty. Of course, in California, we do have the death penalty, but no one has been put to death in a very long time. Gavin Newsom, our governor, placed a moratorium on the death penalty a few years ago. So hard to say what will happen down the road, but that is on the table and it is still, you know, technically still legal in California.
So what happens next in this case then, Danny? What are the key moments for News Talk Daily listeners to watch out for?
So there will be those evidentiary hearings are supposed to begin at the end of May. And that's when we'll really get into the finer details about what evidence the prosecution has and whether this case will proceed to trial. That said, this case has been one that it seems like almost every other day there's a new development in it. After so many months of it seeming kind of at a standstill from the public's view, now it seems like there are almost constant developments. So I think we will continue to learn more about the circumstances around this crime and what happened in those months after Celeste's killing and the discovery of her body. That's something I imagine that we will get into because it was a large period of time. And what the prosecution has said is they have alleged that David left her remains in his car in front of his house for months. So I imagine we'll get more information about, you know, what went on there and who knew about their alleged relationship.
Danny and Gianno, thanks so much for bringing us that story. If you have been affected by anything you've heard, you can always reach out for support. In Ireland, you can contact the Rape Crisis Network, Ireland National Helpline on 1800 77 8888, available 24/7, or visit Dublin Rape Crisis Centre at drcc.ie for information and support services. Until tomorrow, goodbye.